I'm glad we played it one more time. You know, we kind of lost it. We had it as a weekly thing on the show, a couple times a week sometimes. It's a good song. It just really is. Yeah. It hits every time.
Yeah.
At least I know you like this song. A lot of the other songs we played.
Yeah, this was all right.
I think it's better than all right. It's really good. It's better than that. All right, welcome back. Midday show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillette. We're going to get to some of what was said yesterday. Flyers kind of have their exit press conferences. We'll hear from Michkov, Dan Vladar, and also what Rob Brindamore said on the ice on Saturday night to Rick Tocca. We all saw it, and we're kind of thinking what might have been said there, but we have the audio, but we'll get to that coming. Let's get back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. That's how you join the show. We've talked about a lot today. This segment, of course, sponsored by Meineke. Get your vehicle ready for summer driving, brakes, tires, batteries, and complete auto care by trusted local experts. Meineke, doing car care right. Let's talk to Dennis in Newtown, who is up on WIP. Hey, Dennis.
Dennis.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. How we doing?
What's up, Dennis?
Good, Dennis. What's going on? What are you thinking?
So half empty. I just don't think there's much that can be done with these contracts and this team. You know, when I look at the Flyers, and believe me, I was down on the Flyers, still am a little bit, but you know, the one thing they have from the chairman down to the coach are people in leadership positions that connect with Philadelphia. Dan Hilferty was the chairman of Blue Cross Blue Shield. Jonesy played for the Flyers. You got Briere played for the Flyers, and so did Tockett. And I think that bought that franchise a little bit more time. I look at the owner of the Phillies. He's connected, right? He's connected to Philly. He's in the community. So is the chairman. So is Jeffrey Lurie. But I don't see this chairman. I don't see this owner anywhere like that. And I think that has a lot to do with the fan base that disconnects and, you know, gets rid of their tickets to fund next year's season ticket increase. And I just don't think I kind of think the Sixers may want to look at that template a little bit closer.
Dennis, I agree. I think you're totally right. Like, people connect with, they believe in, they feel like they care like we care with the other teams and not with the Sixers.
Yeah, that makes a big difference.
Now, I think there's a fine line. Like, you don't want to just hire like a former Sixer or someone just because, right? The Flyers got into trouble for doing that for years. But
I agree. Yeah, I don't disagree. Got to be the right person.
It has to be. But I think that counts. It counts what you're saying, Dennis. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the other thing I'll say to you, and then I'll get to Schwarber real quick, and then I'll let you go. I don't know. Who's the general manager of the Boston Celtics?
Well, it's Brad Stevens now, because Stevens went upstairs after being the coach for a little
while. Exactly. Yeah. But what's his pedigree? He was a college basketball coach.
Oh, yeah. And then an NBA coach.
He transitioned to the pros.
Yep.
He knows how to put a team together. I don't know. You know, I'm going to say a name that's been bannered about forever. And I don't know if this individual would be interested in this position as opposed to coaching. And that's Jay Wright. I mean, why wouldn't he want to do this? Maybe not. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. But that's a connection to Philadelphia. That's a connection to the community in Philadelphia.
Sure is. What are you thinking on Schwarber?
Well, you know what? Can I ask a question? Because I don't know the answer to this.
Mm-hmm.
All these home runs he's hitting this year, how many has he hit with runners on base?
Well, considering he only has 28 runs batted in with 17 home runs, can't be that many. I mean, the numbers say it can't be that many.
So I don't think I can disagree with you, Joe, that he probably will become the all-time, you know, home run leader and hitter. But I don't know what he's doing for the team. You know what I mean? I don't know how that contributes to making that team better. I think he probably should be batting fourth to get more people on base before he starts banging
that
ball.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that, Dennis, and I get it. And Dennis, good phone call, man.
That's been a conversation we've been had for the last couple of years.
So whether or not you agree or not, but to me, that's separate from, is he the best home run hitter, right? Like, but that's not his fault where he hits in the lineup. He just swings the bat.
He's just doing what he's doing.
He just swings the bat and hits home runs, right? How impactful they are, and you know, to go back to the Howard thing, right, Hugh? Because I think most people that would either not want to yet agree with this or are disagreeing with it would say Howard's contributed to a World Series, right? And that's totally true. Like, the Howard era was better than this era. Howard contributed to more you know, a World Series, back-to-back, you know, in the World Series, winning two straight NL pennants. But I guess, to me, being great at one particular thing in a sport has nothing to do with winning. Like, it's just, like, to me...
And that's fair, but that's, but you got to understand, when you're talking about fandom and the way people look at things, they can't separate the two.
But I think you can.
I mean, you can, but most people don't do that, Joe.
But I just, for me, they're not the same. Like, who had a better run versus who's the better at this just one thing?
Well, and for me, like I said, it's because he was an everyday player. He was an everyday player. And a part of the things that we remember about him are the contributions that he made to get them to the World Series. And I think that's where it's hard for people to separate the two. I get exactly what you're saying, because you're talking about pure at the plate.
Home runs.
You know, knocking the ball out of the park. But for me, it's hard to take away that aspect of what Ryan is. And not only that, knowing the road that he came up and how he got here and how he became that folk hero for many people here, it's kind of hard to separate that for me. So that's why I give it to Ryan.
If Schwarber breaks all the records, then what?
If he breaks all the records, then Ryan Hart will still be the better hitter to me.
What, better home run hitter?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, most of my rants and my arguments don't make sense. Okay. They make sense.
But isn't home run hitting about home? No, just hitting home runs.
But what I'm trying to tell you is, it's about hitting home runs, but it's also about your fandom and how it made you feel in that moment. Because that, when we talk about fandom, that's what we're talking about. I was hearing, as a matter of fact, when I went down a rabbit hole the other night, was listening to Rich Paul talk about the difference between LeBron James and Michael Jordan. And the gist of his argument was this, and what made Michael Jordan, well, made LeBron better, was that he said, not verbatim, but ad-libbing, that LeBron made players around him better. He said Michael Jordan was more of the Mamba mentality, the killer, the one that's going to take the shot and is going to take over the game. And I was thinking to myself, okay, but that's what we remember about Jordan, what makes him so great in our eyes is that because he did stuff like
so
that.
So I understand. So a lot of fandom and arguments and debates is subjective, right? It's how you feel, how you remember things, and that's fine. But at some point, the objective has to follow into the conversation. Like, if Kyle Schwarber hits 74 home runs this year and breaks Barry Bonds' record, it's not even a question. He's a better home run hitter than Ryan Howard and Mike Schmidt and anyone that ever wore the uniform.
But that's where I think you're wrong when it comes to fandom. Because fandom is what you believe it to be in your fandom.
No, but again, you're right. But there is some objectivity that goes into it.
Our question is, who are you a bigger fan of?
No, it's not.
It's who's the better home run hitter?
To me, it's Ryan Howard, and I've said it three or four times.
But now the objective thing that you gave that was kind of a needling at Schwarber, but I think you have a fair point. Is he played the field every day, so he had to put his body out there, and it's
and that's why his body broke. That's why Ryan's probably his body broke
so
down.
It's fair, but just because he made you happier in 2008 doesn't mean he's a better home run hitter. Like that to me, that part doesn't.
Michael Jordan's the best player of all time, but Steph Curry is a better 3-point shooter than Michael Jordan
by a lot.
But he's not considered. But
that's my point. Even the biggest Chicago Bulls fan would have to relent that Curry's a better 3-point shooter than Michael Jordan.
I think when you talk about Michael Jordan and you say the greatest of all time, you talk about everything that comes with Michael.
But he wasn't.
But Curry's a better 3-point shooter.
Okay, but he's not considered the greatest of all time.
Right? Wait, no, you're making my point. Howard was a better player than Kyle Schwarber.
But Schwarber, now,
I think is a better home run hitter.
Again, your fandom to me. Your fandom is whatever it is that makes you feel good. That's why it's called fanatic.
But that's not the question. We're not asking who's a better home run hitter.
Every time you ask me this question, and I always answer it the same way.
That's your problem.
I said, to me, this is what it is. And I give you the reasons why, to me, that it's important.
You're saying who you're a bigger fan of, which is fine.
No, I'm telling you, and I gave you a reason why I feel like Ryan's the better hitter.
But not hitter.
Better hitter.
Home run hitter.
Okay,
just home runs.
Home run hitter. Ryan's the better home run hitter.
Why? Because you're a bigger fan of him?
No, because he played the field.
Okay. But that's not hitting home runs.
And what he did along with hitting a home run, is more impressive.
I'll give you, there is something to, maybe it probably is, right? And it actually, more than probably, it's almost definitely easier if you get the fielding off to continue. Just hit it. I mean, if David Ortiz had to play the field, he probably would have fallen off
quick.
Yes. Yeah. Schwarber has become our version of Big Poppy. DFA'd, people thought he was done, and then he became an all-timer. Like, yeah. That's great.
But Jordan's not a better three-point shooter than Steph because he has a better mid-range game than Steph.
No, he's not. He's not.
Those two things don't. They have nothing to do with each other.
Right now, the numbers.
No, but it's like when you pick.
But playing the field, I get that.
Yeah. No, but that's, you pick out one. You picking out one aspect of the game and say, "Oh, well, Steph Curry was better than him."
But that is our question.
That's the discussion.
That is the discussion.
And that's why I'm trying to tell you to me, because Ryan was able to do all of that. To me, he's the better hitter because he put more wear and tear on his body. Because you don't understand what I'm saying.
He's a better hitter.
He was a better player than Schwarber.
Better baseball player than Schwarber.
And
hit 313 in a year. Not a better home run hitter.
And again, to me, he was, because of all that other stuff that was in that he had to do that Schwarber didn't have to.
You know what, Hugh? To me, Bryce Hoff is a better player than Reggie White.
And you know what? If that's how you feel, Kyle,
that's why I'm trying to say it's.
Because we have to have some level of objectivity in it. Bryce Hoff is a better player because he's saving the world.
I think
Now you can make an argument.
Because he's saving the world.
Now you can make an argument. Like the argument is, would you rather have a Bruce Smith or Reggie White? Now I can make that argument. To me, Bruce Smith had more sacks, but Reggie White was the more complete player.
That's Schwarber and Howard. But listen to what I'm saying.
But to me, Bruce Smith was the better overall defensive end. You see what I'm saying?
Than Reggie White?
Yeah.
No.
To me.
Why are you doing this?
What do you mean, why am I doing this?
Well, because
I'm trying to make it so you can understand it, but you don't. Like, you see, because listen, this is the problem. This is what you two like to do. This is what you two like to do. You want to base a lot of times your arguments in logic, but none of these arguments are based in logic. It's based in your fandom.
That's what I'm doing. No.
It's based in your fanaticism.
I totally disagree. When I said what I said this morning, it had nothing to do with fanaticism. The numbers are becoming overwhelming.
Does Kyle Schwarber do on a daily basis? He just hits home runs, right?
That's it. He hits home runs at a pace that no one's ever hit as a Philly. And for all these years, most people said, we'll never see anyone do what Howard did from a power perspective. We're literally seeing it and more, and I don't think people are grasping onto it. This is the best home run hitter to ever play here. We've never seen this. He's outclassing Howard, and we thought that would never happen.
And Howard played every day.
Right, so
that's why it's not the same to me.
That's fine. Of all the things you said, I think that's the fairest point.
Schwarber plays every day, too.
Well, the field. It's a little bit different. Let me ask you this.
I'm just a first baseman, by the way.
I know. But that's
okay. Let's not pretend he's running around
playing
the outfield.
But he's still playing the field, though. Okay. But he's still out there.
Let me frame it a different way. Your life is on the line.
Ryan Howard.
Let me finish. You could have one player that's ever suited up for the Phillies.
Ryan Howard.
And the objective is this: the ball has to go over the wall. It can't be a single, a double, a triple. It has to be a home run. It can't be a walk or strikeout. It has to be a home run. And your choices are Schwarber, Howard, Mike Schmidt. You can even throw Tomy if you want, even though he played a very short period of time.
Now you put Mike Schmidt in it. Come on, man.
Well, the answer to me is Schwarber.
Ryan Howard.
Okay.
Ryan Howard.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine that you picked that.
We'll die on this hill.
Does making the question that way make it a little harder?
Of course not.
Mm-mm.
He's
still for me, it's Ryan Howard. Ryan Howard all day.
But it's more likely that Schwarber would hit a home run.
No, it's more likely Ryan Howard.
It's not.
Statistically, it is.
It's not. By a lot now.
There's a fact out there.
Okay, so I'm not, like I said, my fandom for the player is based in my fanaticism.
Right. So we're back to you just like him better. Okay.
No, it's not. Like I said, the beautiful part about being a fan.
Yep.
Is that I can fan any way that I want to.
Bingo.
When you get in an Uber, do you pick the person who has the best ratings or the person you look at the best?
I get in the Uber that's the closest to getting me to the destination. Because, as a matter of fact, speaking of Uber, the dude that I was riding with this weekend was driving too damn fast, but I didn't say nothing because I was banged up and I just wanted to get home.
Okay.
I wasn't even tripping.
Let's go to Frank at Galloway, and then we'll hear from the Flyers yesterday. Frank, what's up?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Frank.
A few things. One on the Sixers here. Real quick. So what you're talking about here. Joel Embiid might be the most talented big man ever, right? Is he going to be considered a top three setter of all time?
Not even close.
Well, no, but he will be a Hall of Famer.
Sure, but not even close to one of the true best centers of all time. Not close.
Right. So it's how you break it down. I mean, you can sit there and spin who's the best. But I want to give my as a just to touch on what Elliot was saying. I want to go Lane Johnson when he's healthy. I mean, I never saw an offensive tackle or an offensive lineman who impacts the wins and losses. I mean, I never heard of that. I never saw that. I've been watching football for 45 years.
Crazy.
I never saw that.
Yeah. Frank, I remember sitting there at the pregame show before the playoff game. We got the official word that Lane was out of the game. And, like, my whole feeling on the game against the Niners just like, oh, crap. He's not playing. They might lose. Yeah.
I think Mitchell's second. I mean, he is a shutdown corner. They're rare. They stand out. And he does stand out. I put him second. Devontae Smith is underrated. I'm sorry. The guy has hands. I mean, can you name five guys that have better hands than him in the league? I mean, he catches the ball with his fingers, like falling out of bounds, like all the time.
Yeah, I don't think I could. I mean, there's some guys, obviously some great receivers in the NFL right now, but in terms of just hands, like when he has a chance to catch it and catch it, he's up there. I think you're right.
Yeah, I'll go Cooper DeJean next. He's solid. He's hard-nosed. And I want to go, I'll put Jalen fifth. For him to put him first, that's just being a homer. Sorry about that. But that's where he is. Anyway, I just want to get that out of the way. Is it in basketball, isn't it the coach's job to do a lot more than just sub players in and out of the game?
It is. I mean, well, you have to come up with the correct rotation and put the right people with the right people. I mean, beyond other right. stuff. I mean, that's a big part.
Right. Now, I get it. We had 3 to 4 starters out of the lineup, like probably the most part of the season. But how do they come back and look like a total dominant team against the Celtics in a tough environment in a playoff series? And how do you not show up the way they did in the next series? I mean, to me that's a lot of coaching. I'm not saying all, but that was a lot of coaching right there. What do you think of that?
I think it was. I mean, I do think
it was a mentally draining series,
yeah.
though, too.
Yeah, I don't think he did a great job in the Knicks series. And Frank, good phone call, man. We appreciate you. I do think when you go to your bench, Hugh, and you get 0 points, or you're afraid to go
That's
to your
tough.
Bench because it's not, you know, you're
not going to get that much, and you wore these guys out because to me, I was it game two or maybe game three, where the last 7 minutes of the game
two.
When it was two, yeah, when they were close.
Yep.
They had an opportunity. They just ran out of gas. So it's one of those things where you could tell, like, the Knicks bench, they had more shooters on the bench. They had more guys they could sub in that could give you contributions, and we didn't have that.
And he trusted them. He trusted them. All right, let's get to the Flyers from yesterday, or all the stuff that came out yesterday. But first, can we hear, so Brendan Moore, after the series ended on Saturday night, they're skating off, they're shaking hands, right? And he kind of embraces Rick Tocchet, and everyone's kind of wondering, like, what is he saying there? Well, the audio came out. Here it was, Brendan Moore talking to Tocchet on the ice after the game ended Saturday.
Hey, great player, man.
Yeah,
good luck to you going forward. Hey, good job, man.
Yeah, thank you.
You represent well.
Yeah, yeah.
Good Go job, green. Man. Good job.
Yes, thank
yeah,
you.
Good job. Good job, man. Good job. Good job. Better work. Better work. Great job, man. Way to battle. Way to battle. Hey, talk. Hey, good job. Way to bring these guys back, man.
You got it, man.
Take a minute.
You go. You got it.
All right, we're good, Trav. Good job, Tom. Good job. Great series. Good job, boys. Good job, man. Good job.
That was pretty cool. I mean, Hugh, when I saw it, I think everyone was kind of thinking the same thing. Like, he's probably saying to Taka, great job bringing this thing back, right? It's been so long.
Yeah.
Hearing it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, because it is, man. This city loves hockey, man. There's no question about that. From the gatekeepers to the people that have just come back, it's to see this city this excited about hockey, it's been a long time. And to feel like it's going in the right direction – that's even better for next year.
Yeah.
Now you just got to figure out what pieces that you're going to marry with the rest of these guys and try to develop these guys as quickly as you can to keep this feeling going.
It was cool, especially from obviously a former great player and a coach that's had as much success with his program down in Carolina as he has. That was cool to hear. Right, let's hear Dan Vladar yesterday. This was a fun moment, talking about his future, and Nina's got 1 year left on that deal, and what's next? Here it was.
I know you probably haven't talked about this or anything yet, but, you know, if the Flyers were interested in extending you this summer, is that something? Is that a phone call you would, I guess, eagerly accept?
Yeah, and if you can ask the same question to Danny B, I'm going to be watching, so we'll see what he says.
That sounds like a man trying to get paid.
I like that. But ask Danny. I'll be listening to what he says.
Not mad at that. Not mad at that.
I think it's in a little bit of a conundrum for them. I mean, in theory, you want to re-sign someone earlier than later, right? You don't want to get to free agency next year. But you also don't want to be wrong. I mean, goalies have good years and then they don't. I like Vladar. I'm glad he's here. I might wait. I mean, look, if he gives him a team-friendly deal, then okay, cool. But if he wants to be paid like the player he just was, I might wait a year. Another year information.
You might run the risk of making him upset, too, though.
Right, but what if you run the risk of he goes backwards next year and you lock yourself into a goalie that might not be that great?
Isn't that isn't that a goalie in general, like in hockey? Because you might get one that get hot in the playoffs, but, you know.
They can be pretty up and down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dow Jonesy, as you would say.
Well, I know. Yeah. But then you're locked in for many years.
Yeah. The one thing that I will say when he got here, he wanted to compete because he wasn't supposed to be the guy. Mm-hmm. He became the guy. He needs to be rewarded for that. And he has some moments in the playoffs. He definitely has some moments in the playoffs.
Sure.
He needs to be rewarded for that. Now, to your point, what does that look like? Does that look like, what, max money? I don't know what max money is for goalies in hockey. But I would make him comfortable. I would make him happy to let him know that I appreciate what he's done. And, you know, I'm happy he's here.
Let's hear Michkov yesterday through his interpreter talking yesterday afternoon.
Matt Vegas, just how do you overall look at your season?
Hard questions. Что могу сказать? No comments.
How was the relationship with Rick Tocchet this season?
Обычное отношение.
Very simple work relationship.
Да,
good relationship.
Mappy, were you given a reason for why you were benched for game 4 against Carolina?
That's a coach decision. I'm a player that should go on the ice and do my job. If the coach decides I have to miss the game, I have to take it. Go back on the ice and train and work for the best. Unfortunately, we cannot control what we cannot control.
What'd you make of that, Kyle? Can't control what you can't control? The first one he said he had no comment, right? There was a no comment at the beginning?
Yeah. You know, it's weird. I can't, like, it's almost like how you can't read sarcasm over text.
Yeah.
I can't read
through the
emotions through Russian and the interpreting. So, like, you know, I at least just like based off the quotes, I liked what I heard from him. It sounded like he took it on the chin,
mm-hmm.
or like it sounds like they're on the same page and why he was benched and what he needs to work on and how he came into the season and stuff like that. And I thought, just beyond what he said, I thought a lot of the veteran leaders on the team, like Konechny, guys like that, went out of their way to praise him and talk about sort of things that they want to work on with him in the offseason. So I think I left that overall encouraged about the Michkov situation and the future with him and Tocchet here. Because that was a little bit up in the air, and I was waiting to hear what he had to say, what Tocchet had to say, what some players had to say. I feel better about the whole thing now.
Well, least. Yeah, and look,
it still sounds or feels like it's kind of unresolved, though.
Well, yeah, there's still work to be done, it feels like, to get him to where they want him to go and to get everyone on the same page. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up, all your phone calls. I like this one I see up here. I need to teach Joe perspective. I can't wait to learn perspective from I can't wait. It's going to be no, it'll be fun. All your phone calls coming up on Maury, on the Schwarber thing, which really became Schwarber and Howard, which it wasn't designed to be. I mean, you could put Schmidt in there. You could put Tomey in there. I'm at the point now where I think Schwarber is the most prolific home run hitter in Phillies history. Agree, disagree, and all that. And we haven't got to it. A little hold the line update. Some Patriots at minicamp talking openly, out loud, about A.J. Brown joining their team. We'll hear that next, and Hugh will, I know, he'll hold the line.
It's the line!
The Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, winning is different at Fanatics Sportsbook. And now that the playoffs are here, the stakes are even at their highest. So don't wait for that what-if moment. Switch to the only sportsbook that protects all pro player prop basketball props across. That's a lot. Say that fast about 18 times. Across straight parlays and same game parlays. Across any first half injury. That's right, people. If you're betting player props in your playbook, whatever it is, if it's points, assists, rebounds, steals, or blocks, Fanatics Sportsbook Fair Play Insurances gives you an edge when it comes to cooking up your parlay. Some books protect your bet from the first quarter. Some do nothing at all. But not at Fanatics Sportsbook, where they flip losing bets into winning bets on every night in the association. That means if your player gets injured, boom, in the first half, your bet will play on with all remaining legs, meaning a loss can be turned into a win. Other copy trends. Fanatics Sportsbook, they set the standard. Fair play keeps every first half protected. So bet with the book that always has your back. Fanatics Sportsbook, winning hits different over here. Must be 21 plus, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-MY-RESET.